Hello from Burbank, California. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Write That Down on the Fight Game Media Network. I'm Justin Nipper. I edit for fightgamemedia.com. Staff writer, F4W Online, WrestlingObserver.com. We're from Pro Wrestling NOAH, Cyber Fight Inc. And I am back once again with Japan's leading pro wrestling author, historian, the number one pro wrestling sociologist in the entire world, Mr. Fumi Saito. This week we had a little freestyle chat, and a lot of it focused around the history and the development and the differences between the Japanese print media in Japan and how important that was and how important it still is to the industry in Japan, and later compared it with where we in the English-speaking West are coming from in terms of point of view. Enjoy this one. It's a little looser this week. A little creative. I found it really hard to articulate some of the thoughts that I've been thinking about and ones that we've talked about on the show. And I often feel stupid or like I'm not really able to accurately articulate what I want to say when it comes to the evolution of journalism and how it intersects with pro wrestling. Give it a listen, everyone, because I clearly don't know what I'm talking about, or I feel like I don't. You tell me. Yeah, this is a good one. If you have not already, please subscribe to the Fight Game Media Network, the podcast feed, so you can get this show, Spotify, Apple, wherever you usually listen to your podcast. Please hit the subscribe button. It helps us out very much. Without further ado, let's get into the show.
That's in the back, yeah. The advertisements. And betting, like racing.
The horse races.
Horse racing, boat racing.
Horse racing, and bicycle racing. It's all gamble.
And the soft porn.
Oh, soft porn.
But right,
this is a kind of trash paper that you can't take home.
Exactly. And people treat it like it's a New York Times or something. But
yeah.
Well, that's another thing, though. When you say New York Post, growing up in New York, New York Post was special to me because the main content, about 75% of it is trash. You know.
Yeah.
But since it's sports in the States, they're important, but they're not at least New York sports were able to remain apolitical, not political. So the sports sections in those tabloids usually had stronger coverage of, at least in New York, the New York teams.
Or than the general newspaper results.
Yeah, because a New York Times will definitely... Okay, so for example, I like the New York Knicks basketball team.
Sure.
And all the papers cover the Knicks in different ways. New York Times does a great job, but since the New York Post it's never had much of a standard, like a writing standard, it actually gives sports writers the ability to really do what they want and beef it up and make the sections very, it can be good or bad, but generally it's...
Interesting,
because it's not that, it's a sport. So you buy the New York Post if you're not looking for serious news, right?
Right.
If you want serious news, you buy Washington Post. But if you want to have some entertainment, you turn to page 6 and read about the gossip in Hollywood. And
sure.
It's usually on the back. It usually has a back cover. So, and they usually are a little looser and make fun of a lot of teams, and it's a little sleazy, but it has its place too.
Sure, sure.
But
well, no, that's, in this case, among free press.
But what's different in Japan is that that's the this Tokyo Sports is the low level, because there's a high scale of quality. There's a quality scale from Tokyo Sports up to the magazines that you write for, like Kaminoge. Those are very different.
Yeah.
You know, a daily tabloid newspaper versus a monthly digest journal.
Digest journal is right.
And with it's not on cheap paper. It's very high quality photo. It's a serious magazine with, you know, serious long form articles. So,
but what's the reality is Tokyo Sports a lot bigger circulation.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But it's funny when people take these awards seriously, like it's announced in the Observer, like the Tokyo Sports Award. It's like, it's like
work, right?
It's like the WWE Hall of Fame.
Voting committee too, you know, but it's sure. Like, the hand-picked guys came into room and vote for you. But it's the political in nature right there. Mm. And they decide and balance things, you know. Mm. It used to be like when the Tokyo Sports Award started, it was like the wrestler of the year, Antonio Inoki, but the most valuable player was Giant Baba.
Sure, they're keeping the peace between the two.
Okay. Which one's better than the wrestler of the year or MVP, right? Mm. Mm. Or the match of the year, either Jumbo or Fujinami, sure. You know. And when Fujinami wins it, and tag team of the year will be Baba and Jumbo or something like that. Mm. You know? Mm. Yeah, so it's like they really balanced it. Yeah, and also it's just generation to generation that the Japanese wrestling fan grew up reading Tokyo Sports. Mm-hmm. You know. And also the wrestling magazine used to be monthly, so they only came out once a month. You know, it's a good magazine, but it only come out a month. You have to wait for it. And then it became bi-weekly. And then in the weekly magazine, that's fine. But the Tokyo Sports, it came out every afternoon. So, mm-hmm. You know, you pick it up closest subway station and you read it. As soon as you read it, it goes into trash too. Mm-hmm. You know?
Or you leave it on at the exit at the subway station so somebody else can read it.
Somebody will pick it up too, right? Oh, exactly. You can
pick that and Shonen Manga Weekly big book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The manga culture.
Old stacks at the station that people left.
Yeah, because the manga magazine comes out every week, but the second day of sales, it becomes old book, you know.
Yeah,
the first day of sales you buy it and people read it and kind of leave it at the you know train station somewhere on the bench. Somebody will pick it up and read it and set it up, you know, sit on the bench again. Mm-hmm. What was in between was like a weekly fight, like you know, it's a tabloid paper, no color page, like a good graphic color good paper, you know, like a weekly magazine, pro wrestling and gang magazine, that's for the color pages, right? But weekly fight was like a newspaper style tabloid paper with just reading material, you know. Mm-hmm. And it covered a lot more depth than the Tokyo Sports or Weekly Pro Wrestling, you know, for a long time. I didn't discover Weekly Fight until I was like 10th grade when I went to private high school and had to take subways every morning. So what's this? And I really discovered it when I was like 16. Yeah, and there's it has more stuff in it, man. You know, start talking with other wrestling fan kids, and let's start reading Weekly Fight instead of this. You know, and it was just like the targeted to a certain audience. You know,
How about so Gong? Gong
is so Bill Apter style.
Okay.
Yeah, because it follows the
kayfabe.
Every wrestling angle the company provides you. Giant Baba's storyline, Antonio Inoki series storyline, and not like we went out, you know, weekly pro wrestling. They went out of their, you know, went out of their way to just find their own topic or interview wrestler and get the real feeling out of it. Whereas Gang Magazine wouldn't ask wrestlers question; it's outside of your story in the current storyline.
Sure.
Yeah. So it was like that, really. But then again, Gang had their audience. Weekly Pro Wrestling had their own audience. And serious wrestling fans read both. You know? Yeah. So it was like that. Well, what's interesting though, that the Gang magazine's editors and writers think like Gang magazine, a Weekly Pro Wrestling's writers and editors and photographers, they think like Weekly Pro Wrestling. It's like almost became second nature.
How was Weekly Pro Wrestling different from Gong then? So was Gong, but because Weekly Pro Wrestling wasn't necessarily like the Observer. It was
no, not as revealing as Observer. You know, then you know Weekly Pro Wrestling is not going to tell you that you know 6 weeks from now that the title will be changed hands. You know. Yeah, that's Weekly Pro Wrestling. But the Weekly Pro Wrestling of 1990s and Weekly Pro Wrestling today is completely two different things.
Yes.
Same magazine, but completely different people. I don't work there anymore. You know, or Tarzan Yamamoto or everybody who was there during 90s, everybody's gone. And
to me, it looks like what you described Gong as now. It's more
now that the Gong is gone. I mean, Weekly Gong and Weekly Gong and Weekly Fight both went out of business back in 2007. It was like a dying day of print media. You know, Tokyo Sports remained, but like a Leisure News or Nigai Times or the number of newsstand that the tabloid paper, gossip newspaper that covered wrestling daily, it was gone. It was gone. And they still have Nikkan Sports or Sports Nippon and other things, but they cover very little wrestling now. And Tokyo Sports is the only one that covers wrestling every day. But then again, Tokyo Sports, they divided wrestling team and they don't have the wrestling section anymore. That whomever working currently for Tokyo Sports will come and write wrestling stories, but they don't have wrestling and MMA, you know, staff room anymore. That's interesting. And also, what was interesting in the millennium into 2005, 2007, that not everybody transfer from print media into the internet media. I think I was just not perfect, but young enough and old enough so I can still do the print media and learn how to do the internet media and write. But most of the writers today, like in 30s or I mean early 30s or late 20s journalists, they debuted with the internet. And a lot of the old print media people, like a little older than I am, they never transferred themselves into the internet media. They're basically either retired or quit or they can't do this, right? So it's like two sets of the wrestling journalists in this country. Yeah, the debuted with New Japan, the internet era after 2000 or so, and who was active 80s and 90s and, you know, into millennium, they're either retired or gone, you know? So I think I'm right in the bridge that I can do print media and on the internet. I'm not saying I'm special, but it's my generation. Like right now, I'm 60 years old, right around when I was 38 years old, 21st century started, right? And everything's going into the internet, so it's wrestling, you know? And I had to learn it, you know? No more typewriter or the word processor alone. You'll be writing your story on this computer and put it in your folder and email it. They'll print it right away, and then the proofread comes back in the same afternoon. You have to, you know, proofread yourself on the computer and send it back. You just relearn everything, you know. No more 35 millimeter, you know, like the exposure films, you know. The older camera became digital, and take a whole bunch of picture with your new digital camera, put it in your computer, put it in a folder, and send it, right? The whole process has changed,
It still changes every day. It's
A new device come out every week or so. Right. I know that. Oh, and then we didn't think we were going to have moving image on the internet, right?
Yeah,
it was like the writing and, you know, still photos. But now it's streaming everything. And pretty soon soon enough, wrestling is on the internet. You know, it's more so than the television. But that really changed, not the content and the technology itself, but the people working for it. So I think wrestling journalists had to be, you know, had to be kind of re-educated somehow. And the ones who's working full-time, you know, internet media, that's how they started. You know, they don't know how to do the print media, you know. And it gotten easier because of this, just like the social media, today's social media, sometimes they don't even get the proof written, you know, read by your seniors.
Sometimes they just put out information that's completely not sourced true.
Then don't even bother, right? Double check.
And that's a problem too, because you want it to be, you want the journalism to have somewhat of a, not high standard, but equal standard to any other profession. But on the other hand, not enough people care about pro wrestling to make an argument for it. You know, at the end of the day, it's just, it's wrestling. That's how it's always been treated here. So it goes under the radar.
When this print media is the perfect example, the Weekly Fight and Weekly Gong went out of business right around the same time. Like I said, Legion News, the Nagai Times, the other newsstand tabloid that covered wrestling, they all went out of business. It was in the middle of our dark age of professional wrestling.
Right. It's kind of like when the sun went down. That's a good reference point you can look at. You can look at, because it wasn't just one moment where everything became dark. It was a number of scenarios.
At the 20th century into 21st century, they needed to conclude a lot of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was six almost similar to like a unidentified flying objects story that, you know, that the UFO story of the 21st century had to come to an end. Or if you remember, super psychic people who can bend spoon.
Telekinesis.
They really believed and argued and had a lot of discussion. Could be with the superpower, order somebody like Sai Baba from India, that, you know, that the religious cult that, person is who can bring something, you know, like a material into your hands.
Sure.
Of course, it was a good topic during 21st century. Or the Loch Ness Monster from, you know, the Lake Ness, you know, the Bigfoot.
Elvis sighting.
Sure. Elvis sighting. But treated as a mystery during the end of 20th century. But when the 21st century came out, it's like, that was last century's story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling was kind of almost similar. And somebody like, you know, the big hero Nobuhiko Takada losing to Hickson Gracie didn't help at all. See? When you have real fight, that's what's going to happen. Oh my gosh, right?
That was the beginning, I think.
Yeah.
But it was also, MMA formed, and there were MMA magazines, and people were really crazy for it. Cause I think it's like you said, people thought of wrestling like it was from a different generation, different century. Now we're in the early 2000s.
And also something like if wrestling was real, you know, that the grappling and a real combat sport, that's what's going to look like. And also, you know, it's nothing to take away from him, but basically Antonio Inoki sided with MMA at the beginning of the century.
Yeah, because it was more in line with what Inoki did.
Because he did the way back 30 years back against Muhammad Ali. That was, you know, like people didn't understand what it was like to have a real fight. Now you do. You know, kind of thing. And Inoki had a series of, you know, MMA fight under pro wrestling umbrella, of course. And it was a work. But what Inoki did, the same idea, you know, that the wrestlers against the fighter from other combat sports, you know, who's tougher and better and bigger, kind of thing. And UFC and the other MMA company turn of the century really gave them the answer. See, that's what happens, kind of thing. Oh, that was the beginning of dark age of professional wrestling. We had to wait until the rise of people like Hiroshi Tanahashi and Shinsuke Nakamura, the new brand new superstar who wasn't influenced by that era. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But Nakamura even was, he's a product he's a part of that time part, too. Yeah,
because Inoki appointed him. He's like, we got the golden rookie here, you know, mm-hmm. with college wrestling background, good looking guy. But he ended up, you know, moving to America for WWE. It's not ironic.
Yeah. As a mostly like an entertaining type, character wrestler.
yeah.
So, and
but
so,
that's like a whole circle in 2023. In January 1st at the Nippon Budokan, this Keiji Muto Great Muta against Shinsuke Nakamura dream match. Yeah. That can happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if the longer you watch this thing, the better it gets, because you will be witnessing the real historical moment, you know, the taking place.
Mm-hmm.
We can shut the video part and we can talk. Sure. As we were talking, I think a good portion of this can be our...
Yeah, how about
wrestling,
it?
Wrestling media in Japan and America.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, because I was there and I really, really believed that it was going to be the end of our job, you know, that, Tokyo Sports wasn't selling well either. And then they divided the wrestling and MMA teams, you know, and then they didn't have the exclusive department just for that. And Nikkan Sports, that the Sports Nippon, that the other, you know, daily newsstand sports papers, that's tabloid culture in Japan, they covered less and less wrestling, you know, at the beginning of 2000s. And now it's 20 years later, it's run by different editors and different writers, and the Nikkan Sports, Tokyo Sports, the Sports Nippon, they all exist, but they cover wrestling differently. And Gong doesn't exist. Yeah, Weekly Pro Wrestling still exists, but it's run by different people, different editor, different writers, and everybody's different. Nobody's there. I mean, I don't work there anymore. The Tazuna Yamamoto quit, you know, days. I mean, the decades ago. And but the same magazine is still there. Yeah.
And there were a lot of newer magazines, or they kind of altered the style with more martial arts magazines, more...
Or just the nostalgia only. Yeah, like G-Spirit.
G-Spirit, focusing on 70s, 80s era.
And now that the current issue is, of course, that the tribute to Antonio Inoki, that issue is coming out. And yeah, so they're more divided, but the specializes in certain area. You have to, because the print media is such, yeah. And all the general wrestling articles are on the internet today. Yes.
Yeah, it looks something like Yahoo News is one of the main websites to go to. Yahoo Japan, not Yahoo English, but Yahoo Japan.
Right, but Yahoo Japan. And also Yahoo Japan is a type of media that picks up news from other media and then put up on their site as if that's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And actually without checking the fact either, because inaccurate news, inaccurate information, other, you know, the not so accurate news can be on Yahoo Japan, and I don't think they even check it. And also they have the comment space right underneath the, you know, Yahoo News, that anybody can comment on this. The nasty comments, really,
of course.
Yeah.
I mean, the main driving force behind a lot of... It's not just in Japan, it's in wrestling, in the English.
Very negative, huh?
It's not just negative. That's another point, but that goes into a different direction. What I was thinking is that there's on the website or outlets, and from their point of view, there's such pressure to come out with your material first, as opposed to coming out with the correct material or the up to standard. It's all about the speed and efficiency.
Or how many people reviewed, how many people came in and stepped on it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we had the 10 million viewers. It's like, I mean, inaccurate, but they got a 10 million viewers nonetheless, kind of thing.
Mm.
Yeah. It's like that, just like that. Game. Probably any genre, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of media today, journalism, especially on the web. It not only has to have a new stylistic standard or format, But I mean, it has to be, you have to have it first because it's going to be aggregated after that. So somebody's going to pick it up and then it's going to get repeated and repeated. And you're not really hearing a story. You're just hearing a long game of telephone.
That would always have this, you know, possibility that this inaccurate information gets, you know, becomes so strong that it becomes almost consensus of the public. I mean, accurate or not.
Yeah, because if there's no reason to, excuse me.
Yeah, so conspiracy, almost conspiracy theory part is just as strong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and if there's no reason to debunk it, it's going to stay there. Because we're not talking politics. We're not talking about daily news.
Wrestling,
we're talking
pro wrestling. You need media literacy. You do.
And, which is really different from what's going on over here, because media literacy is all over the place in the Western English speaking world at the moment, because I mean, it's almost like the Wild West. you can read really great, legitimate work and it'll be sitting on a blog visited by a handful of people. And you might stumble across a completely horrible, false news story. That's
on the bigger media.
Peddling to millions of viewers because
in a bigger platform somewhat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because it's all about that really quick moment, that getting the click, and that engages.
Oh, it is really the social media era and the YouTube era. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that's where the money is coming from now. The money isn't coming from paying readers, it's coming from advertisers.
Advertising, yeah.
And when you get a lot of clicks, you get more money, and then you can survive. You can keep the lights on. But that, so it's different. You don't necessarily have to be good. You have to be engaging, or you have to be.
What can we do to be a good wrestling fan and an accurate wrestling fan? Is I think it has to be more reading oriented.
But that it asks of the fan. It does. I mean, I'm coming from it from I'm born in the United States point of view, and I understand how people feel. I understand how
you're
slammed
from New York
and slammed with so much wrestling out there that there's not even enough time to watch it, let alone read about it. Right.
Right. That too. Yeah. And then so, it gets more nichier and nichier. Huh?
Mm-hmm. So I mean, I don't know how things are going to evolve, but
well, the nature it's is only different. It's only been 20 years after everything became on the internet kind of, you know, era. Yeah.
I think that it'll be, at least over here, it'll be less of a reading oriented readership or fan base. But I do believe that going forward, it'll be more of the literacy will come through, like, you know, what we're doing with podcasts. It's a podcast market now.
That too. Yeah.
I mean,
what AM radio used to be.
I mean, I don't know of many other genres of entertainment or sports that have so many damn podcasts dedicated to niches of it. And I'm happy to be able to put out a podcast that is still, to a lot of people, on a very niche topic.
Yeah.
Japanese pro wrestling. So, but there's enough of a market out there. There's enough people listening.
As accurate as possible.
Yeah, and it gives us a chance to kind of at least put it out there. There is that. Yeah. That's the thing. You can put anything out there that you want without oversight. And maybe on a website, on a web page, it might not be accurate. But you don't, you know, from our point of view, we don't need anybody's permission to put out what's the correct answer, the right stuff. So
yeah. Going back 10 minutes or so, that I come from print media era, that in order to be able to have you what you've written to be printed, you know I was proofread by 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, like a different level of people, you know, my, you know, direct boss to a superior boss to a professional proofreader, readers to what, you know, then comes back to me as a writer's proofreading it. And then it's like, by the time it's printed, it's like, it doesn't look like it's mine anymore, you know, that they changed wordings and the dates and this and that. It's like, it had a big hurdle to, you know, to go over for your material to be actually printed instead of you writing something on your, you know, iPhone and get goes out there right away. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah, very different.
Also, I think people got to realize that in Japan, reading in general, it's a reading culture,
oriented culture. Yeah, that too. Yeah,
America is TV culture. This isn't like a better or worse comparison. This is just the facts. I mean, America developed alongside television, and this is where Hollywood is. America and television
are hand in hand in a way.
But you also have in Japan, you have hundreds of years of literature that in the United States, it's more hodgepodge and it's a different, you have to talk about it differently. But in general, fast forwarding to the modern era, when you travel, if you live in a big city like Tokyo and you travel, you're going to usually take a commuter train or a subway. And most people, even today, even with the prevalence of smartphones, people are always reading something.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are always, if you go to a cafe, a packed cafe, everybody's reading something. Reading is a big, big part. I just feel like it's a part of daily life. I think that's one thing I like about Japan personally, is that I'm a nerd and I like to read a lot. And I think that Japan is, at least Tokyo, is very
but reader friendly. Tokyo subway, nobody's reading newspaper anymore.
It's more about the smartphone.
People, yeah, smart for looking into the smartphone. Or they might be reading newspaper, that smartphone internet version of it, you know? So we don't know until you look into the screen, but it has been like that, you know, for the past 5-10 years. So I'm afraid that the newspaper, like a paper version of newspaper, will go out of style, I mean, probably 5 years from now. Yes. Mm. So that's the kind of era we are living in. And back to wrestling, that we still enjoy wrestling, and the news travel faster, and we have more, you know, like a wider variety of information and news. That last week, you told me about the great Muta against, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura. It won't be news until they announce it, right?
Mm.
You knew about it, but yeah, and then it's been a big news. And then it's like the internet version of story come out, like a great Muta going to AEW and had a little angle with Sting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that the Sting will be appearing Yokohama Arena show for Great Muta's retirement series of big matches. And at the same time that the WWE is sending Shinsuke Nakamura to Great Muta's, you know, January 1st Budokan show, is Noah doing business with WWF, man? Or, you know, the AEW and WWE and Noah all working together, man? It's like a lot of speculation, like a not so professional speculations out there, but it's on the internet already.
Oh yeah. I mean, I saw quite a bit of this over the past week. I think part of it's based on the history that people are fed from the point of view of English speaker living in the West. You're familiar with stories from WWE. You're familiar stories from ECW, WCW, NWA. I mean, that's the core background. So they're trying. I think a lot of the times fans try to take these American ideas and put them into a Japanese
context. Yeah, only American perspective. Yeah, American perspective.
I don't
Japanese content of it. Yeah,
I have such a hard time explaining.
Oh, I understand that.
A hard time explaining the point of view. Like, there are just so many people that don't care about one way of wrestling, and it's something I think about a lot, but it's always been so hard to articulate and talk about the differences in expectations of the fans between the two countries and the gap.
Western English speaking fans to Japanese fans.
Yeah, but I mean, I think this is bigger than people realize.
Great Muta deal is very much isolated case because it's Keiji Muto. He can do business with AEW and he can do business with WWE all at the same time because he's Keiji Muto. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. But it's also he's someone who's so big that the websites can use him as a springboard to not create stories that don't exist.
Say what they want to say. Yeah.
Like, for example, there was some, I think it was Dave Meltzer. He was writing about the general facts of Nakamura and Muta and the Observer. And there was a line he wrote, something about WWE restricting Noah about speaking or saying the WWE name or something like that. It was a short kind of one-off. You know, he was just explaining the technical facts of what's going on, and because of the language that was
on that, it's accurate in what he was writing, but it interpreted differently.
Because the headlines became WWE is restricting pro wrestling Noah, like it's an active
policy.
Yeah, like they wrote down, do not say, like that's. It's not untrue, but it would be true in any situation. I don't know.
You're not doing business directly. Yeah.
Right. These turn into news stories in pro wrestling, and it's not necessarily news. It's kind of, it's a spin in a really weird direction because
of course.
It won't lead to anything.
Also that what was written was never really researched by a first-hand person. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
They never really interviewed executive from WWE, or they didn't, you know, interview Shinsuke Nakamura directly, or Triple H for that matter, or anybody from AEW, or it's just... All these things, you know, information's out there. They put the pieces of puzzle together and they come up with their own story.
I'm taking a look at, so I was looking at some from a few days ago. It said something, WWE places restrictions on Shinsuke Nakamura versus Great Muta. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily wrong flat out. I mean, it's wrong, but it's not... blatantly wrong. It's a kind of deceiving, don't you think?
Very deceiving. Yeah, very deceiving.
I don't think there's anybody working at WWE that had the job of placing a restriction on Japanese company, whether they say the WWE name or not. It's very you're thinking about it like it's a part of the show, like an angle. It doesn't that too.
Yeah.
Like it's not. I mean, listen. Also, from my point of view, if I'm being serious, I'm working for Noah. Any publicity is going to be good. Please continue talking about the company as much as you want, as long as it's not, you know, overstepping a boundary. But I just don't know what it does for anyone.
Or to become an obstacle of actual business taking place. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just stirring a weird dialogue that doesn't really exist and won't lead to anything. Yeah. It's just, I think that's another thing, because the Japanese matchmaking process is still so.
Well, pretty complicated, but
complicated and also hidden or secretive compared with how open the business has become.
Or the leaking something, in the
States. I mean, I know that some of the talent in the company, they don't even know the plan until, you know,
take place. Yeah,
you know, sometimes I have to know some things in advance just because of my job. But I mean, I know that certain guys don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, they don't tell every wrestler everything.
Hmm. Everything is on a need to know basis with Noah, I can say. But that's not how it is in the States. It's a little, I mean, each company is different, has much different business style. It's like comparing.
So, yeah, it will take place on January 1st at Nippon Budokan Pro Wrestling Noah Show, that the Shinsuke Nakamura, Great Muta, will take place.
Hmm.
Right, and in following was that like January 22nd?
Yokohama Arena,
another big show that the Great Muta retiring tour, that the Sting will make an appearance, who is AEW superstar, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's all happening because of Great Muta retirement tour, you know?
Right, and it's because it's Muta, and it's because it's guys like Sting that it doesn't feel like a working relationship between any
kind. No, it's individual connection.
Yeah, Noah and AEW and WWE, they're there to facilitate like any other company would, but it's not like there's people shaking hands and hugging and signing contracts together backstage.
Yeah, but the Tony Khan making a comment like, we're honored to be working with Pro Wrestling Noah. That comment didn't help either.
I think that was also, again, it's an example of reading competency and half of a sentence that he said was turned into an idea,
which was very deceiving in the first place.
Right. I mean, it's what it is, and I feel like an idiot talking about this because
it's a very difficult one because as big a superstar Keiji Muto, Great Muto is, that he is having his retirement tour. He just had Ariake Arena or the New Japan Superstars, not all, but the people like Hiroshi Tanahashi and Makabe, they came in, worked the show on Pro Wrestling Noah show, six-man tag team situation. So it looks like New Japan and Pro Wrestling Noah working, but it was because of Muto, Great Muta, that his final time that he'll be tagging with New Japan Superstar. Then you have Budokan Show. That's another big one, January 1st. Then Yokohama Arena, just 3 weeks later, a big, huge, building. Then 1 month later at the Tokyo Dome, the February 22nd, again, that's a Tokyo Dome that you'll have to have something real huge, right? Mm. And it's because of Great Muta, Keiji Muto's retirement toward a lot of basic formula that doesn't apply. There's a lot of isolated case business happening right now.
Mm. So, it's one of those things. It's with when you have a star in wrestling that's so big, he can really unintentionally mislead people to think.
A lot of wrestling fans want to read this into a business relationship and with company and big company, major company working, signing a working relationship or partnership or something. They want to read into that,
No, the real story, though, at the end, if we had to wrap it up right here, the real story is that it's not the companies that are doing the, In this particular case, the story is that Keiji Muto is the one that people are going to see it's not about the companies working together. It's these companies working with Keiji Muto because they all want a part of this retirement tour. That's the main issue. So it's less about the companies and much more about Keiji Muto.
Yeah, because it's all happening because it's something to do with Keiji Muto, basically. Yeah,
I think people just got to realize how big he is, big of a celebrity he is. I mean, he's not Inoki, but I mean, in the
the biggest star of our generation,
And still active too.
Yeah, he'll be 60 this coming December, but he started out, debuted with New Japan. And went to America and then worked to NWA Florida and went to World Class Dallas and went to Puerto Rico. Then went to when WCW was being born, from NWA Crockett into WCW, he was there. And 1989 Starrcade, if you remember, Flair, Sting, Lex Luger, and Great Muta, the mini tournament thing, the beginning of Great Muta. Then he came back to New Japan and went back to WCW a decade later until the dying days of this WCW. Then he came back, then associated with Inoki, Bombay a little bit. But 1 year later, he signed with All Japan Pro Wrestling after Noah guys left, and he became All Japan. Then another 10 years, he'll form another company, Wrestle One. Then he became freelancer. Then finally signed with Pro Wrestling Noah. There's all the major company he worked for, and it's much like Ric Flair, right?
That's a good modern. I can't really compare him to any other people. Like a Ric Flair, Sting to an extent too.
Yeah, then the Sting and Flint, you know, Muta was friends, you know, like friends, you know, when they were much, you know, both are much younger, growing up like, to be a superstar for the next decade. Yeah,
almost around the same age. I think there's a 2-year difference.
So if you knew that, that yes, it's all happening because it's Keiji Muto.
Yeah, it's not what the, I mean, believe what you want to believe, but Keiji Muto is why all of this is happening. I mean, hopefully this leads to more open playing field.
Yeah, of course, Good things should happen, yeah.
I think there's so many more win-win opportunities for companies to exchange talent and work together on temporary basis.
And the make all kinds of dream matches, you know, to take place, yes.
And it's especially good for
business, of course.
It's a different style. I think that's a major style of booking these days, is less about the long-term story and more about this, you know, constant dream match offering.
Yeah, if you have a match that people want to see, that's it. You know what I'm saying? That you almost don't need long storyline. It's like what Chris Jericho would say, it's a window dressing, you know, after that. If you have, if you already have the match people want to watch, want to see, you have the business. Yeah.
Nakamura Muta.
Yeah, everything else is like a window dressing. Yeah. That help. That'll help business, of course. But the match itself is a story. Shinsuke Nakamura against Great Muta, yes. Or Sting appearing in Yokohama Arena for more of a Great Muta's retirement tour, more so than any connection with Pro Wrestling Noah itself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yes, I did, we covered a lot. We were going to, you know, talk about, you know, wrestling media and the internet era, the print, in the print media era, that the end of tabloid, you know, sports pages, and almost like end of paper wrestling magazines, and the whole internet information, and how, you know, information is going around, you know, and today's wrestling fan have a hard time distinguish, you know, that they're the accurate story and not so accurate stories, or people make up, because you can post whatever you want on social media today, and that can be just as influential, right? Not well, influential, but it's out there. It's out there, you know.
And on the complete opposite side, there's also the small groups of younger readers and writers and posters who they're focused on analyzing the media. It's the media that talks about wrestling. So you got the wrestling, and then you got the media talking about wrestling, and you have these subgroups of people critiquing the media and how it's, you know what I mean? So it's a lot in flux, and there's a lot of work to do. Yeah,
for a more innocent wrestling audience, they all look pretty much the same in the same level, you know? That's scary.
It's hard to manage because...
of course.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just what it is today.
Yeah. It's just a wild west. You have to.
Yeah, I think it can be about different genre too. You know, social media and the YouTube era, to your streaming service, that it took weeks to watch. You know, I mean, in the 80s and 90s, it took weeks for me to get, you know, VHS tapes from the States.
Same. You know? Same.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was really a test of your passion and a test of your love for this wrestling. Because sometimes you would be waiting a long time, paying probably more money than you should for a fourth generation VHS tape.
Right. And the 6-hour, you know, footage packed into 120 minute tape, you know.
Or, I used to get like the All Japan Television. It would be for maybe either a couple weeks or maybe a month or two on one, on, you know, I mean, you'd have everything, and that would happen. You get that delivery once a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or whenever. I mean, sometimes
not professional, but people are doing it.
And the thing was, is that it wasn't always reliable, because maybe next month that person isn't, it's not available anymore. It's not like you go to the store. Right. I mean, and it's going to be there
off the TV or something. Yeah. Then next source will come up too, you know. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, it was way that the into 90s Monday Night War era too, that I had to get tapes from both shows every week. Yeah, there was no streaming service, no YouTubes, you know, so I had to, you know, wait at least a couple of weeks to watch, you know, the current Nitro and Thunder, and you know.
If for me, like you would watch one and videotape the other.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something and the like New Japan that. Show, Old Japan Show, you'd have, if you know, tapes that whatnot, or the yeah, for that matter, that the FMW Onita's Deathmatch, they were never televised. They was always on the VH tapes, so somebody had to have it, you know. Then make a dubbing of it and send it to America or something. Oh, just old days.
Oh yeah. I don't want to say I miss it, but it did give me a special feeling.
Back? No.
Yeah, it was ultimately it's a pain in the ass, and you don't. I can't. Somebody watching YouTube today, I can't believe watching some of these matches, All Japan, New Japan from the 90s in crystal clear definition. When my memory, memory is like I can barely see these guys' face. Or there's tracking
that,
lines.
All the fans' memory was like a Tiger Mask against Dynamite Kid on this like a barely watchable VHS.
And a mono sound, and
of course.
But it was also kind of mysterious, enigmatic. It was what the hell? What is this? This obscure you know, Dynamite Kid and Tiger Mask. What is that? It's like the Avengers before the Avengers movie came out.
Yeah.
They were superheroes.
That was then. This is now. Yeah.
And that world goes hand in hand with the press and print media world of that time too.
Oh, of course. It all happened simultaneously. Yeah.
It was different in the States, but I mean, that was an important part before the internet came into play. It was the magazine, you know, Bill Apter, as they said, Stanley Weston magazines. And I mean, that they were a huge part of my life because especially as a younger person, it's like I have to go to the newsstand and get basically a different version of this. They were basically the same magazine, PWI, Inside Wrestling, The Wrestler, Wrestling USA. They were all from the same publisher, and they were pretty much the same, just kind of different order, different topics. Or
different titles, you know. Yeah. But and the paper wasn't that good.
But in general, it was pretty much the same. And it was the only time you could talk about WCW and WWF existing at the same time in the same sentence.
Right. Yeah.
And or it's also where you would find somebody like Sabu. I didn't see. Yeah. I saw him as a magazine guy before I saw him on television.
FMW tapes,
ECW black and white photos, or you know, mythic indie guys like Reckless Youth, who you never be able to see on TV. You just read about them for years and years.
Okay.
See pictures. So you really have to use your imagination too. Very different time.
I did that with American Superstar in Japanese magazines, that the American Superstar didn't come over, you know? Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, times are changing.
So we talked about wrestling media and changes and times and the world we are living in right now.
And I'm sure we'll have to come back to it again someday. You know, it's something that changes so much.
Of course. Oh, day by day. Yes.
We should sometime, I want to look through some of your work in weekly pro wrestling. Maybe we could talk about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of explain how it was different.
Know pro wrestling stories?
Pro wrestling. That's right. We should talk about that too.
They came and interviewed me.
That's right. There's a feature article on Mr. Fumi Saito. I don't want to pronounce his name wrong, but Javier Ost, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He did a great job in interviewing.
I don't advertise myself, so.
Well, I'll have to do it then. So that's my job. But I think if anybody out there, if you're already listening, I'm sure you're already kind of familiar with Fumi's story. But if you were interested, go give it a read. I'll post links social media.
Tell these people that I've interviewed from Luther Skorogach to Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Stan Hansen, the Road Warriors, the Funks, the Nick Bockwinkel, the Harley Race, all the way to Bret Hart, the AJ Styles, and all the way to I don't know,
Tanahashi.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we need you, Fumi. We need you to teach the people. That's why we call it Write That Down.
Write That Down.
Write That Down on your notebook. Write That Down
name came from actually Chris Jericho's press conference. Yeah.
That's right. I don't know if we ever really talked about this on the air, but hopefully it was obvious.
At the beginning of our show, we always hear, you know, Chris Jericho's voice saying, mm-hmm. Write That Down, Write That Down. It came from the press conference. Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega 5 years ago, that he looked at me and said, Write That Down, Fumi Saito.
5 years ago. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's 2017.
Yeah. But yeah, that is unofficially Chris Jericho's voice from that press conference where he yelled at.
Yeah, we kept the tape and used it and sampled it. Yeah.
You were on his show recently.
Yes. Dave Meltzer and I was on the talk with Jericho. He wanted to talk about the legacy, real legacy of Antonio Inoki. And it's a 1 hour show. It just came out. Also,
where can people download that?
You can go to Talk is Jericho and then listen to it, I believe.
Okay. Talk is Jericho. I think it's on the website. I think it's on the, I think they play it on SiriusXM.
If you talk to Google, that'll come up.
Yeah, we'll post links.
Yeah, but and also the pro wrestling stories that just came out also a couple of days ago.
Yeah, check that out. It's all about Fumi's background and people.
Almost embarrassing.
Well, but you know what? There's people that have been around for not so long. They haven't been here and seen the stuff you've seen.
Yeah, the story talked about, because you may not know Fumi, but he's been so enwrenched for the past 40 years that. They posted old photos of myself and Bruno Sammartino, me and Hulk Hogan, the
Brody, Snuka.
Yeah, Brody, Snuka, the Road Warriors, all those photos are on it. So
Fumi has been so busy. He's a workaholic, so he didn't have any time to tell anybody about all this.
No, it was from Carl Gotch. Carl Gotch taught me, you know, decades ago that from where I come from, the man who talks about himself stinks. Yes,
that's
sir.
What we talked about last week on episode, so it's with like Carl Gotch.
Being humble and humility, and you consider yourself very lucky that you're able to make a living with something you love so dearly, and you don't advertise yourself. You know, you do your work and do your best, and that's how you know how people know you, and you don't advertise yourself. Yes, sir. You know. It was like that, you know. It came from Carl Gotch, my hero. So,
and very opposite from the philosophy of, you know,
Western culture,
Gorgeous George or Ric Flair, who the more arrogant and cocky and flashy you are, the more.
Because not because I was great or anything like that. I was lucky that I was able to meet all my heroes, you know, and I had to share, you know, and write good stories, and people will probably read it, you know. What I've been doing,
and I hope people, including myself, I mean, we're all kind of inspired by your story, so I think it
thank you
kind of inspires us to just do more cool creative work. I think that's what it's always all about, is
and meeting, you know, people, you know, just maybe that you will be able to meet your heroes in your real, you know, real life.
The world's big, but it's not that big. So
And then it's wrestling, you know, you probably have a chance that you actually meet your hero someday in person.
So if anybody out there has questions on today's episode or just wants to ask us anything, where can we find you?
Twitter @ Fumihiko Daio, FUMIHIKODAYO @ Fumihiko Daio on Twitter, or Fumi Saito on Twitter. Please message me first. I'll friend you.
And on Twitter, you can find me @ Justin M. Nipper, KNIPPER. Feel free to hit us up, ask questions, shoot us some topic ideas. We have some new episodes coming up. If you have any, let us know. But until next week, Fumi, take it away.
So long from Tokyo.